Football fans, it's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. If your team isn't in the postseason tournament, I hope you've gotten over it. If your team is in, mazel tov, and get ready because the wild card round commences. Not really at this point, even in a matter of days. I'm counting it by the hours, and very soon it'll be by the minute. I can't wait for this thing to get going here. Episode number 44 of the Dave Damashek Football Program. Thanks for tuning in. Available on iTunes. Subscribe, won't you? And also at davedamashek.nfl.com. And as always, I'm joined here in Studio 66 at the Dave Damashek Podcast Nerve Center, the network of podcasts available on nfl.com, Eisen's Podcast, the Coach's Podcast, the Fantasy Show, and beyond. I'm joined right now, though, by my main man here. You know him from the Pick 6 column that you read. Now it's available in video form as well. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me. And you know what?
What?
Hit my music.
Adam Rank is here. Both that drunk on beer. He likes fries, fries, fries. Fries, fries, fries. With gravy.
All right, touche. We haven't heard it in a while, and it sounds good.
We've gone too long for that. You know what? And it's
look who's taking control. Is that what? Tell me honestly. Did you say to your wife on New Year's Eve or New Year's morning? Did you wake up? Your eyes popped open, or they probably didn't pop open. They were bloodshot red. But you said,
getting up for Fantasy Live on Sunday.
Let me tell you something. If one thing changes in 2012, I'm not going to be that Damashek's doormat anymore.
The lackey.
That's right.
No, I'm still that guy. Don't worry about that. No role has changed. I'm excited for the playoffs, expecting big things from the Chargers. Going to be a grand.
No. The Chargers, they're out.
Are you sure?
They did not make a positive.
No. Because I just saw a report that North Turner and A.J. Smith are coming back. So I'm just assuming the Chargers are in the playoffs.
I can see your confusion. It is very confusing, the statement that owner Spanos made. He said the reason he gave for bringing Norv and A.J. back was continuity. I think you're kind of missing the point.
Second place finishes.
Continuity is terrific if you're successful. Yes, let's keep that going. Let's not stop this train. But when it hasn't worked out for you, that's when you want to change the operation a little bit.
I don't get when the curtain's going to eventually be pulled back on A.J. Smith, because he has this reputation of a talent evaluator, and maybe he is, but it's not so much that he's a talent guy. If he drafts you, you're in pretty good shape. You're in better shape when he releases you. Because it's so funny, because it was fitting that Darren Sproles caught the pass from Drew Brees to break Dan Marino's all-time record, because this is something that A.J. Smith has seen far too often. Because if you think of all the great players that have left San Diego to go on to great heights at other places, you have Rodney Harrison. Junior Seau was part of that team, did pretty well. Wes Welker, you know, played a couple of games for the Chargers, was cut.
I don't remember that. I remember the Dolphin.
He played one game with the Chargers in 2004, was cut. Eli Manning, Breeze, Sproles.
I think that's interesting. And as a matter of fact, why don't we open this up to the Czech Republic and to the Rank Amateurs, our respective people who align themselves with us. Either way, we appreciate you listening to the podcast. But let's open it up. At Damashek, at Adam Rank, drop us a line. What team has let go more stars in the era of free agency? This is certainly not it's certainly not unique that players left at their original team and have gone on to stardom. I wonder if the Chargers are the best/worst of that group.
I wonder how many teams have allowed two Super Bowl MVP quarterbacks to walk away.
Interesting. Yeah.
Eli
and who else?
Eli and Breeze.
Oh, and Breeze. Yeah, right.
So I say the team that signs Vincent Jackson next year becomes next year's Super Bowl favorite.
interesting thing that we'll have to track there. All right, so but for now, we do have to dig into this weekend's games and to how we foresee this entire playoff picture shaking out here. Go ahead.
Can I say it's a shame that the college bowls have not finished? By the time the playoffs start in the NFL, I want my college bowls done.
Well, and I've said it before, and you remind me, I'll say it again right now, and I'll say it through Monday night's game between LSU and Alabama. I don't know about this whole system, and we got our old pal producer Wilk Tie in there. Black Tie is out, so it's Wilk Tie behind the glass. He loves his college football, does Wilk Tie, so feel free to jump in on this. But here's what I know. Should it be Stanford? Should it be Oklahoma State? I guess based on the result of that affair a couple of days ago, I guess my answer is definitively now Oklahoma State. But
yes.
Here's who I know shouldn't be playing in that game. Alabama, who already lost at home to LSU. The entire system is structured so that it is one and done. You lose a game, you lose control of your destiny. This is how people say, hey, listen, some teams lose in the regular season and then they go on and play that team in the Super Bowl and beat them. Should that not count? Yeah, it should count because that's the way the NFL has structured itself. College football has, you know, obviously it's not in writing anywhere in the rule book that's how it has to go. But it's implied that this is the way it's supposed to go. You lose a game. I mean, listen, Alabama didn't even win its division in the SEC. This SEC ruling the world. We're all suffering from Stockholm syndrome. They have beaten us down with this idea that they are beyond shadow of a doubt. They're definitely the best conference, but they're. Is the opportunity for other teams to be halfway decent if you aren't playing in the southeastern portion of our continental U.S.? And by the way, let me just say this too quickly. Oklahoma State, especially, history is going to forget that they were a really, really strong team and really deserved to be in this BCS title game. Think about it. First of all, that game was played on a Friday night. It's a weird time. College kids just don't play games on Friday nights.
Right.
So that I'm sure they were a little discombobulated by that. Rabid Iowa State crowd. Yes, Iowa State stinks, but a weird situation for them to walk into. But more importantly, you'll remember there was the plane crash. The women's basketball team, the coach and the assistant coach, and I'm not sure who else was on that plane. But I'm sure in a small town like Stillwater, Oklahoma, this was the only thing going on. And I'm sure it cast a pall across everything that happened on that campus for that week. And a couple of days later, then they're playing a conference game against an actual Division I team in Iowa State under weird circumstances, like I say. I'm sure they weren't exactly right for that game. They have one loss, and so does Alabama. Alabama's came to LSU. How did they get a redo? There's no such thing as there shouldn't be mulligans at the very least. What gives? I don't understand how Oklahoma State didn't get that shot, but I don't. Say what you have to say, Rank, and then let's turn the page because I don't want to get bogged down with this college football nonsense.
I don't either. But let me ask you a question. Are you going to watch the game on Monday night?
Of course I will.
That's your part of the problem. This is where we don't really have anything we can do. We don't have something that we can go out and make a grand statement, and I'm not going to say let's occupy the BCS. But don't watch the game. Let ESPN's rankings tank and then go for it that way because the only vote that we have is with our remote controls. And if we don't go out and if we don't watch the game and we let them know, look, this is not acceptable. I'm not going to watch this because you're putting it out there. You know what? I'm just done. I'm skipping it.
Guys, I have to jump in here just to answer what you said earlier with my things that I agree with and disagree with here. I agree with you. Oklahoma State should be in the national championship or should have been. I agree that I will not be watching the LSU-Alabama game. However, to say that the reasons for losing to Iowa State it was actually the same day as the plane crash, which is a valid reason. But I mean, it's a Friday night. What, they can't play on Friday nights? They're going to be playing on Sundays.
I'm just saying it was odd circumstance.
They played on Friday a couple of years ago when they were in high school. I think that's a bogus argument.
Can I say this? I didn't actually expect him to jump on talking.
He's empowered because he's not here every week now.
I see.
So now he feels like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be removed next week.
I make a point that I think is valid. I don't need him interrupting me to tell me it's not valid.
Yeah, I don't get what he's talking about.
I have the power to end this early. If you guys want, this can be a 20-minute podcast. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, listen, here's what I do want to say, and a couple of things quickly before we get into to the playoff action here. One, Thanks to everybody who checked out the Shame Report this week. I feel personally, immodestly, I feel like this was a top three effort of the season so far. So check that one out at NFL.com. Rank, your work is, what can I say? It's your work. You know, that's what that is. And then here's the big news. First of all, with this podcast, thanks to everybody who's been tuning in. Last week, our biggest week ever in terms of numbers. The show continues to grow. Thanks much for that. Spread the word on that. And please share the news with your friends. Get them to subscribe. And speaking of podcasts, I was on the Adam Carolla podcast earlier this week. Gangbusters time visiting with the Ace Man and his crew over there. So check that one out, won't you? And then here's the biggest news of all. Rank, you and me, we're going to the Hoosier State where I matriculated. I went to Indiana University, of course, during the time of Calbert Chaney, Coach Knight, and beyond. We didn't get a national championship while I was there, but I did see some great college hoops. We're going to be in Indianapolis for the Super Bowl. We're going to be there the whole week. It's going to be a wonderful time. I'll show you my Indiana.
We're
going to have a great time out there. But here's what we're going to be doing, along with doing a Shame Report, and I'm sure we'll find time to make the podcast at some point. But NFL.com live, 3 hours from Media Row, and we'll be sitting there. We're going to kibitz. We're going to do sort of a video version of the podcast, a three-hour show. It's going to be me. I'm in the captain's seat, right?
Good. Well,
is that how it goes?
As it should be.
I agree. I mean, I think so. I think that's the right way to go. But it'll be, and then you'll be there, and then who else? Elliot Harrison.
Right, he should be there.
Jason Smith is going to roll through. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know who's all going to be there. And then, of course, Media Row. I'd never been there until last year. But listen, the Hall of Famers walk to and fro. The place, the place is lousy with NFL legends. Oh, you look there, girl, get, and then also Brooklyn Decker's over there. Bring her over. Hey, Adam Sandler, get him on. So the main thing we got to do, though, is we got to get Pat Kerwin and Tim Ryan, our favorite NFL show, on Sirius. Talk about it.
We got
just the four of us looking at each other saying, talk about it. No, you talk about it. No. You talk about it first.
I'm really afraid that Tim Ryan sincerely doesn't like us or doesn't like me.
Do you have any do you really believe Tim Ryan any idea who you or me is?
He was probably, if he was listening to NFL Sirius on Wednesday, he probably would have heard me making fun of him.
Oh, is that right?
I dropped a couple of talk about it on it.
Well,
I don't think I've ever allowed
it. It's an homage. Who says that's an insult? All right. Episode number 44. We honor each episode by talking about the player who wore it best, not just in football, but in all of sports history. And let's do that right now. 44, one of the truly iconic numbers in the world of sports, and it starts with Jim Brown during his schoolboy days when he was a Syracuse Orangeman, Jimmy Brown, and this one's going to be hard to beat. Hammer and Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron, yep.
Yeah, the home run king for now and all of time in my book. Mm-hmm. And then you have Reggie,
of course.
Willie McCovey, days of the Giants when they went to the Bay Area, teamed up with Willie Mays, Dan Issel. Jerry West,
the logo.
All right, so I'm circling Jerry West, Hank Aaron. You have John Riggins, Chuck Foreman, Dick LeBeau, the now defensive coordinator, but a Hall of Famer for his quarterback deeds. Robbie Brown, high-scoring winger for the Pittsburgh Penguins on 66 Mario Lemieux wing back in the early 90s. Dave Babich was good. Kevin McHale, the black hole for the Celtics, was 44. You got anybody else?
McHale was 44?
Yeah, wasn't he?
He wasn't 32?
Oh, no, he was you're right. No, he wasn't 44. I think he was 32, come to think of it, yeah.
We have former Rams fullback Mike Gooman.
Not worth mentioning.
No, because in Anaheim Stadium, over the right field bullpen was a sign every week, go Gooman. Mm-hmm. Somebody brought a sign
again,
for the fullback.
Again, not
I
worth mentioning.
Cool. No, it was.
Not worth mentioning.
And then if we're going off college, though, what about Brian Bosworth?
Ooh, the
Boss.
Yeah, delightful.
Had a big stink.
One of the great moments of all time was when, I'm sure most people know, but then again, in a world where people don't know who Drew Pearson and Rocky Blyer are, I encourage you kids, if you don't know the play I'm talking about, when Bo visited the Kingdom and Brian Bosworth and steamrolled him on one play at the goal line, that was awesome, but I prefer the pitch out, the 80-yard run around the end, and nobody gets a finger on him. Runs around the end, and no NFL caliber defensive player on the Raiders. I mean, on the Seahawks could get a finger on it. Just ran right around the tackle and gone. It was awesome. And then vanished.
Up the tunnel.
Yeah, disappears up the tunnel. That was awesome. So, and Randy McMillan.
Did you say the Iceman, too, George Gervin?
The Iceman, George Gervin. Paul Westfall, now free if you're in need of a coach. And to me, it comes down to Hank Aaron and Jerry West. And this one seems like a gimme that you're going to go Hank Aaron. But Jerry West, top 10 all time?
Logo.
Yeah, and Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron has the home run record, but
Hank Aaron's got to be top 5 or 6, though. I think we got to go Hammer and Hank, right?
I would go Jerry West.
I'm shocked you as a Lakers fan would say that. All right, let's Wilk tie, include that, make Hank Aaron our official award winner. You know what? You want to break the tie? Have you heard of either one of those guys, Jerry West or Hank Aaron? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what your generation.
Don't be indignant with us.
Your generation knows hardly anything. I wasn't alive when he was playing, then you don't seem to need to know anything.
Who that sounds like you.
No, that doesn't.
You're the same way.
That's untrue. About what?
Is Don Hudson a great player?
That's not why I disregard his deeds. It's not because I never saw him. I don't. I have no regard for his numbers that he put up in the 30s when the NFL was a fringe sport. It's not at all comparable to anything we've seen since the AFL and NFL merged. I reject it. That's it. Now,
to break the tie.
Wait, break
as
it.
As a diehard Laker fan, this is difficult for me, but I think you have to go with Hank Aaron.
Shut his mic off.
That's right. No, now see, his mic's allowed to stay on for a little while more now because of that correct answer. Yeah, listen, Wilk Ty knows where
for the Clippers this year.
Wilk Ty knows where his bread's buttered.
From the Lakers.
All right. So now, with all that being said, let's dig into it here. And just another reminder, NFL.com live. I don't even know the hours, though, right now, so it's kind of hard to promote. But be on the lookout for it. And also, may as well follow at NFL.com live. It seems weird to
say. NFL.com live.
On Twitter, NFL.com live. Follow that now, and you'll be able to keep up to date with everything we're doing. I don't know. Listen, let's talk about it.
Spillup.com.
We've been talking for, it feels like, 48 minutes already. Can we talk about the playoffs? Would that bother you so much if we did that?
We talked about the play. We talked about the Chargers' chances.
Yeah, and then we talked about Oklahoma State. And now let's talk about the NFL playoffs. And you tweeted out, and this is always a good idea to follow Adam Rank, because sometimes we'll just tweet out on a whim. We'll do a little something we call tweet nay. We go through what's going on in football, of course, this week it is the playoffs. And you sent it out to the Tweetiverse? Is that what they call it? The Twitterverse. I know, I'd heard it somewhere before.
Something like that.
So you sent it out there for their questions. But let's talk very quickly about overarching points with what we think is going to happen here. I said preseason. I said the Green Bay Packers over the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm standing by that, and here's my logic. Three teams in the AFC have a shot at getting to the Super Bowl realistically. Let's reject the Texans, a nice story, great defense, running game, but T.J. Yates is not taking them to the Super Bowl. He is not going to break the 45-year streak of a rookie quarterback starting and leading his team. I don't think T.J. Yates is going to break that string, nor will Jake Delhomme if he has to take over at any point. The Bengals... That's enough about that. And the Denver Broncos.
They might
as
well cancel that game.
Well, but it's massively important, though, and let me explain why in just a second. And then the Tebows, and you might be able to make a case, and I will make that case for you, that why the Broncos can beat the Steelers. But obviously they're not going to run the table. They're not going to win three games to get to the Super Bowl. So we can forget that. So it's the Steelers, it's the Ravens, it's the Patriots. But what really is going to determine, as far as I'm concerned, which of those teams gets there is what happens in that Texans and Bengals game. Because if the Bengals win it, the Bengals go to Foxborough. That is a gimme. And let's assume that the Steelers beat the Broncos. Then you have that bloodbath game. Those two teams play. They both come out destroyed, decimated by injury. They'll limp in. Whichever one survives, they'll limp into Foxborough. They won't be at 100%. You know that going into the game against the Patriots. This sets up, if the Bengals win, about as easy a road as you could possibly have to get to a Super Bowl. Two home games, one of which is against the Bengals. The second is against a banged-up Ravens or Steelers team. That's probably a recipe for success if you're Brady and company. The other way, I think then it favors the Ravens if you get Pittsburgh and the Patriots playing one another in the divisional round, then you have a relative cupcake, whichever one it is. You have I guess it's the Texans. And again, by the way, I do not assume the Texans would necessarily lose to the Ravens. But I think the rookie QB thing will be the difference. There is a reason why rookie QB. The thing is, though, that sounds ominous.
Him off,
no, nope. that what sounds ominous is 45 years, no one's ever done it, and I just said that that the line about I don't think a rookie's gonna T.J. Yates is gonna break that. But let's remember, rookie QBs have never been starting QBs in the NFL for legitimate teams until very recently. It really did kind of start with, correct me if I'm wrong, Roethlisberger? Was he sort of the first rookie to just be put in there on a legitimate team and sort of take their team far? Then Matt Ryan did it. Cam Newton installed this year, had the big season. Obviously, the team wasn't very good. Andy Dalton's in the mix this year. But there aren't very many stories of rookie QBs going really deep into the playoffs, but there aren't very many occasions until the 21st century when any team would turn over the reins to a rookie quarterback under any circumstances. So I think it's where you're looking more at like a 15-year history of that. Now it doesn't seem so daunting. That being said.
Because like the first time that really happened, something like that, and he wasn't a rookie, but Vince Ferragamo was starting his eighth career game when they were playing.
Well, it's different. And Tom Brady wasn't in his first year when they, that was his second year when he took over for Drew Bledsoe. Either way, even if T.J. Yates can go into Baltimore and pull the upset, which wouldn't be stunning because it's not like the Ravens have the most prolific offense in the world. And the defense for the Texans is great, and Arian Foster can run. So maybe they can pull out a couple. But ultimately, are they going to win three games to get to the Super Bowl? It feels very unlikely. So that's how you do it. The Ravens are the favorite if Houston wins this week, and then because either they would have to go up to Foxborough. I don't think that's a scary thing for them, considering what they did 2 years ago when Ray Rice destroyed them, pounded them on the ground a couple years ago. And on the other hand, if Pittsburgh rolls in there, much as it pains me to say, I always love to mock Ravens fans, people who watch the Shame Report in the Baltimore area, berate me for being a so-called Ravens hater. You hate the Ravens. Oh, you're so upset that we beat you twice this year. No, I'm not. Listen, on behalf of all Steeler fans, I don't consider you our rival. You've never beaten us in a big game.
Like the way Coke doesn't consider RC its rival?
Right. You're gum on our shoe, I'm afraid to say. You've never beaten us in any game of significance. However, I think this would be the year. If the Steelers do have to go to Baltimore, I think this is the year. Because look it up. The Steelers and Ravens, I think, have played three playoff games. The Steelers have won them all. When both teams are really good and something big is on the line, generally speaking, the Steelers are going to win. So that being said, I think this would be the year that trend would reverse itself. And so I think Baltimore would be the favorite. If the Texans beat the Bengals, if the Bengals win, then the Patriots go. No matter what in the NFC shakes out, I like the Packers. I know I'm hearing a lot of talk lately. The last couple days, the Giants are going to do it. The Giants are going to go in there and upset them. First of all, let's see them get by the Falcons. I think they will, but my jaw wouldn't drop if the Falcons knocked them off. But I'm all season long I've been saying I'm not a believer in the Falcons. Let's say the Giants get that one, though. With their front four now going and Human Yura back in the fold with Tuck and the way Jason Pierre-Paul's playing, man, that maybe you get the repeat of what happened to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl a few years ago. The difference being, though, of course, that Aaron Rodgers can run away from pressure. Tom Brady had no ability to do that. I think that Aaron Rodgers can run away from pressure. So,
that's absolutely the case.
So I still like the Packers. And the other talk, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this, Rank. Everybody now, the hot pick seems to be the Saints. Because the Packers lost one game and almost lost to the Giants, it's sort of like ho-hum with this team. Now it's the Saints because they're playing so well. Here's my response to you, if you are a Saints believer, somebody who's taken Drew Brees, because he's been so phenomenal lately. Do you really think he's going to beat the Lions, who are unstoppable on offense themselves the last month? Matt Stafford, statistically, had he not had the injured hand and had to wear that glove for a little while, he'd be right. I mean, he obviously went over 5,000 anyway.
5,000 yards, yeah.
His year would have been even more monstrous. And, he's basically targeting Calvin Johnson. But now the new thing is he's involving the rookie, Titus Young. Now, if they have four receivers, including the tight end, good pass catchers there, this is a very scary offense in spite of the fact that they don't have a capable running back, which is also sort of something you would say about the Patriots and the Packers.
Plenty
too.
Of teams.
Anyway, so the Saints have to survive against Detroit. They should do that in the dome. But what the Saints are not good at is traveling and being out on grass and traveling at all, let alone across the country. They'd have to go to Candlestick, beat the best defense in the NFL. And then if they do that, and I'm right about the Packers, then they have to go to Lambeau where it's going to be cold. That's just not going to happen. Hear me now, believe me later. The Saints are not going to the Super Bowl.
Their history shows that because last year they went to Seattle, were terrible against a team that was 7-9, barely got into the playoffs. A couple of years ago, the Saints played at Chicago in the 2006 NFC Championship game. Again, they can't go outside and win. And remember, when they go to San Francisco, that field is going to be underwater pretty much because that field's a soaky, soppy kind of mess. You know that if the Saints are coming to town, Harbaugh's going to tell that.
Yeah, if you're a conspiracy theorist, I absolutely would think of, among the group of coaches that would do that, Harbaugh's one, and I'm not frowning on that. That's gamesmanship.
No.
That's called home court, home field advantage.
They probably haven't cut that grass in weeks. It won't be a good matchup for the Saints. I don't like them. I don't think they'll get past the Lions. They're not getting past the 49ers.
I know. Here's something I've heard quite a bit of in the last 6 weeks. Hey, since Jonathan Vilma's come back, that defense is completely different for the Saints. It ain't that much better.
It's better.
It's definitely better, but a team like the 49ers, I bet you will be able to pound them down real good.
Yes,
they'll just
absolutely
grind them and keep the ball away from – there won't be any 40 points put on the board against that Niners defense because Gore and company will just grind them as much as they possibly can. And, by the way, this is speculation. It's what I thrive in is reckless speculation. But I feel like watching Alex Smith play coming down the stretch, he got a great deal out of that win against Pittsburgh on Monday night. That to San Francisco and the 49ers fans and to that organization was a big deal. Now, obviously, the lore of the Niners is great, but none of the people on that team, anybody really even associated with it at this point, have anything to do with Joe Montana and Steve Young. So that was a big deal for them. There was a lot of pressure on them to win that game. And he made some big throws in the second half of that game against, obviously, a good defense. So I think that Alex Smith probably is sneaky confident going into this game. So
As he should be.
Assuming that it even is the Saints. We don't even know that it will be the Saints who survive that game. Again, I joke about what the Super Bowl score might be if you get Packers and Patriots, 237-231.
Right.
This game in the Superdome, what's to stop either team from putting 50 on the board?
Absolutely.
It should be back and forth the whole day, right?
I hope so.
The only thing that might slow it down is if they decide to pound Pierre Thomas a little bit, which is ironic, but that is what Sean Payton might try to do is play some keep away from the Detroit offense.
Now, he seems like the kind of guy that's going to want to go out and sling it. If the Lions are going to go out and throw it, then he wants to show that he's just as good and our team can do that much. They went for the record on Monday night in Week 15. So this team isn't that, hey, we're going to pound the ball and play it smart. They play reckless. They play loose. They're just going to let it fly.
Oh, the tears that were shed over that. How could Drew Brees go for the record? No. I think we're in agreement on that. The only other thing, and I hate when people say, hey, assuming everybody stays healthy. Of course, it all assumes that everybody stays healthy.
Thank you for pointing that out. That's the thing. Wait, no. That's the thing I hated because when we go back and we look at our projections, or our projections, I should say, I picked the Lions to go to the playoffs. And that was one of the – I understand. I got some things wrong.
Oh, dig those up. Do you have those while we're talking?
We can look it up. We don't have to do it right now. But when you talk about it
– anything to get you from stop talking. I mean, listen. Am I right, Will? No, I'm sorry. Please proceed.
I was offended earlier because even some of the people on our site were always under this volition to say, you know what? If Matthew Stafford stays healthy, the Lions have a chance to make the – and I hate – that kind of nonsense, that kind of here's my caveat or whatever. I went out there and I said, you know what? The Lions are making the playoffs. I'm not going to say if Matthew – I'm not giving any qualifiers, anything. The Lions are making the playoffs, and they made it. And it would, you know, and I got some right, I got some wrong. The Dolphins obviously didn't make the playoffs, but yes. And so it comes down to this thing too, like, hey, you know, if this team stays healthy or if Aaron Rodgers doesn't get – I'm done with it. Please stop saying that. Just make your call. If injuries happen – injuries happen. And the thing that scares me the most, and I've been thinking about this, and we were talking about going to Indianapolis, my luck, it's going to be a 49ers and Steelers Super Bowl. And I'm like, this will be great. Why don't we get, and we'll bring in Kevin McHale. We'll bring in Patrick Roy. Everybody that made my life miserable as a youth, The 49ers and the Steelers, two teams I cannot stand.
I don't know if I would be able to see the game because, of course, that game is going to be a dome game, and I don't know that I'd be able to see it through the roof up on Cloud 9 if that one happened. Oh, it'd be wonderful. What a treat that would be. Two of the truly iconic teams from different eras. That would be a wonderful game. I know you think the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl. I just don't think it's in the cards for them this year, again, based on the way it stacks up. I don't like them having to, in all likelihood, to have to beat the Patriots and the Ravens. That's a tough two-game stretch, both of which would be played on the road. I know people like to take teams in a vacuum, but you must look at what their path is likely to be in order to – same thing with the Saints. Like I said, let's talk about the projections of this is the first time you're listening. We did this right before the season started. We gave our seeds 1 through 6 in both conferences to see how we thought. I know I had the Patriots as the one seed, so I was right about that. I had the Packers as the one seed. I was right about that. I had the Saints as the second seed. Just missed on that one. Second seed would have been the Ravens for me, so I'm doing pretty well there. I missed on the Dolphins with you. I had them as my sixth seed. I had the Steelers as the 5 seed. I hit that. I had Houston as the number 2 seed. Mm-hmm. Wrong there. My big swing and miss, I guess, is the San Diego Chargers. I had the Eagles like the rest of the world. I did take the Niners to win that division, though. That was a sage pick. Cowboys, I was wrong on. Falcons, I was right on.
Okay.
I'm looking at you. You got the pretty Cardinals good. Wrong.
Wait, hold on. I got the Patriots.
I even got the Seeds right on most of them, though.
I got Patriots number 1. I had the Chargers as the number 2. Ravens at number 3. Titans, who
Tennessee.
Made a they made a run for the playoffs.
That doesn't count. You don't have to say anything about it. You were wrong. That's okay. All. Is it right
Miami,
or is it wrong?
Miami, I was wrong.
As a 5 seed, no less.
The Steelers as a 6.
The Cardinals.
Detroit.
All right.
So
you got
Falcons
right.
Of the 6.
Right. Listen, in other words,
Packers,
I won. I defeated you. I was
know.
A little bit better
hey,
than
hold
you.
Hold on. Hey, well.
No, there's no reason. And also, I don't think your New Orleans over I don't think your New Orleans over the Chargers is going to come true, so I also win on that count. So, all right. Now, you tweeted it out. You did some tweet and A here. What's the Czech Republic and the Rank Amateurs, what are they thinking about here? What do they want to know about with this wild card picture?
Well, you were just talking about the Steelers and their journey to the Super Bowl. Mm. Everybody is assuming that the Steelers are going to beat the Broncos. A couple of questions here. First of all, one comes from Craig Dodge, who asks.
Our main man, Dodge, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He goes, can you or Dave give
Vertically Striped Socks, I believe, is the name of his very fine podcast. Check that one out.
Can you or Dave give Broncos fans any hope? We feel like dead men walking towards Sunday. And I'll give you another one from Chef Kevin Stacy, who says, I want Damashek to give reasons how the Steelers could lose the wild card round to the Broncos.
Well, the Steelers, outside of the game against the woeful St. Louis Rams, have shown no ability to score points in the last month, and that defense in Denver is legit. That's something you and I have talked about, Doomerville, Von Miller, Champ Bailey, and beyond. These guys are – that's the reason that this team is relevant. That's the reason this team is in the playoffs, not Tim Tebow's miracles. I see no reason why the game with 7 minutes to go isn't going to be something like 10-9 Steelers or 9-7 and give Tebow the ball. You need one play then. If it's a one-possession game in the last quarter, then, of course, any ball bounces funny and suddenly the Broncos will win and – all of America outside the banks of the Three Rivers will rejoice that another Tebow miracles happen. I don't see the Steelers.
How nervous will you be if the Steelers are up 10-9, 4 minutes to go?
Petrified,
Tim
of course.
Tebow's running onto
of
the
course.
Field.
I mean, I'd be that way no matter who the quarterback. I'm that way when Joe Flacco's on the field. Well, actually, with good reason. He's actually pulled off a couple of last minute drives.
Did you see the story?
But anyway, yes, I absolutely could see that. Yeah, and I don't with Roethlisberger. It is it's a poorly kept secret in Pittsburgh over the course of his career, likes to bring up the fact that he's hurt. And once again this week that we've heard that he's tweaked his ankle. He suffered a setback in Cleveland. He's not feeling good. So is this bravado? Is this trying to build up the legend of Ben Roethlisberger?
The drama.
Perhaps. But now Marquise Pouncey, the center, the all-pro center, might not play. Obviously, Rashard Mendenhall out. I don't consider that a devastating loss so long as Isaac Redman isn't fumbling the ball. But listen, Ryan Clark is sitting down. And by the way, kudos to Mike Tomlin. The medical staff cleared Ryan Clark, and Ryan Clark himself said he was ready to go. But Mike Tomlin said, no, I wouldn't let my son play. I won't let you play. I think this is not to be glossed over. I think it's a great message.
Bad idea.
Talk about it.
Bad idea.
You don't like it.
You're
a
football player. You should go play. No, I'm kidding. Absolutely. The
I
right
like
call.
It.
No,
so,
I want to, you know, I wanted to make some sort of smart remark, but when Tomlin kind of couched it that way about, I wouldn't let my son play, how could you say opposite? But you know what? Following up on that, so let's say the Broncos do. Let's say, what would happen if the Broncos? Mike Dell of the LCS Hockey Show also tweeted in, how will the Dave react when Tebow beats the Steelers? He doesn't own a gun, does he?
Well, for me, I have to think that my team is the – I have to – in my brain, there has to be an expectation of where they're going. If I thought that my team was going to the Super Bowl and they got derailed by Tebow, then it would be devastating. I don't think the Steelers are going deep into the playoffs no matter what this year. What I'd like to see – I'd love to see – if I could have anything, I'd like to see him play the Patriots again up in Foxborough.
Right.
There's no shame if they can't go into Foxborough and win that game. That team seems to own the Steelers. It doesn't seem that way. They do own them, especially come playoff time. I'd like to get a shot at least to shaking off that stink. I'd like to at least get just as the Ravens, I'm sure, would like a shot at that. As I say, as much fun as I've had making fun of Flacco and the Ravens and everything, this is the year that I think if the Steelers have to play the Ravens,
I don't want to play them.
I fear what will happen. You know, that's one of those cliches that you always hear, and no one ever calls the analysts on this. It's like, hey, tough to beat the same team twice in the same year. Hey, it's tough to beat the same team three times in a year. That's a pretty daunting task. If Baltimore rolls in, I mean, if Pittsburgh goes into Baltimore, we'll hear that a million times leading up to the game. Like,
right. Oh,
tough for Baltimore. Three times they have to beat Pittsburgh. You know what's tougher? Is to lose two games to that team and then be like, oh, yeah, the third one will be the charm, I'm sure. Yeah, of course. They don't have our number, obviously. It's just a matter of time until we get it done.
But they don't have your number. It's a one-year thing.
I know. But I listen, in a given year, if you lose twice to the team, then it seems as though there's a trend developing there. There's a reason why they're beating you.
If there's a heated rivalry where you've gone back and forth for years, wouldn't the Steelers have the confidence to beat the Ravens?
I guess so. Listen, maybe I'm being a little doom and gloom. I'm just trying to set myself up for the expectation that, you know, when we go to Indianapolis,
so
my team's not going to be there. I'm not sandbagging at all. I legitimately think the Ravens are going to the Super Bowl or the Patriots based on who wins this Texas-Cincinnati game. It's massively important. I know it seems crazy, but that is what's going to decide it, and I gave you my reasons why. Now, another tweet, if you please.
Our man Connor Schutt. Is that how you would say that?
I don't know. He doesn't sound like our man if you don't know how to say his name.
I know. I see him tweet me often.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. I don't speak with him. I read it. And he says, what will the upset of the week be?
Upset of the week. Wow. I'm tempted to say Lions. I guess I'll say Lions.
The Lions.
Yeah. How say you?
You like. Now, the Lions already lost to the Saints.
We know. You know, here's the thing
Lions
we should almost count on.
The Lions
is an upset. It's unlikely that you get through the wild card round with all four favorites winning the game. So,
but the Lions lost to the Saints already. They lost to a team with its backup quarterback. Why should we assume that the Lions would be? You talked about them being unstoppable. Well, the Packers stopped them with a backup quarterback.
Listen, the question is who's going to upset them? Is the other obvious answer is the Steelers, I guess, is going to get, get upset.
I'm not putting it.
I mean, they're a road team, you know, the thin
the
air.
The Bengals would be considered an upset.
I don't think that's going to happen. I guess there are possibilities all over the board. I guess the Falcons would be considered an upset, too. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to amend my answer. You're right, Rank. I'll go with the Bengals because who knows what to expect out of two rookie QBs. But they are similar. Two good defenses, two teams that can run the ball. And, my answer is based on the reason I think the Texans are going to win that game ultimately is that place will be gaga. Texans,
yeah.
You know, the Houston, this is their first game in forever. That place will be wild. I think Arian Foster is better than Cedric Benson. And both teams will be hoping to get a big play or two out of their two big-time receivers, A.J. Green and Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson hobbled, though, probably. He's probably not 100%. But I'm gonna take a shot at the Houston has no real history, which is better than having the Bengals history.
Right.
Marvin Lewis has never won a playoff game, so So I'm going to take the Texans there. But if I guess if I have to choose, I guess I'll say the Bengals. Because I don't in my heart of hearts think the Lions are going to win. I just think that everybody has kissed the Saints into the next round as though this is some walkover.
Everybody has them in the Super Bowl.
Well, when you have, you know, listen. Ndamukong Suh and company, you know, we saw what a great defensive front four can do when the Giants did it to Tom Brady. Now, that comparison is a little closer because Drew Brees, while able to dodge the rush some, is a little bit more reminiscent of Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, like I say, can run away from pressure. If Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley, Kyle VandenBosch and company can get some pressure – and, you know, Cliff Avril, if those guys are getting pressure on Drew Brees consistently, then obviously that throws just about any NFL QB out of whack. So, but again, I think the Saints are going to win. I'll go with the Bengals as my answer there.
It's funny because the second biggest thing I fear outside of a 49ers-Steelers Super Bowl is an NFC Championship game of the 49ers and Giants. Like, that would be the worst.
Ugh. That would be horrendous
so
if we're deprived.
Are
of
we?
Something
we're
right.
But we're due for like a terrible Super Bowl. We're due for like a Ravens versus Giants Super Bowl.
I think. Well, you know how you'll get that is if the Packers go to the Super Bowl and play. Let's say if they play
Bengals.
The Ravens. Well, that's not going to happen. If you know, shame the devil if they play the Steelers. Because if the Packers get another shot at the Steelers, I think that one will be much worse than what it was the first time.
Oh,
I think
it'll be a blowout. Yeah.
I think they'll house them pretty good. And I think I'm pretty certain that the same thing would happen if it was the Ravens too. I think the Packers, I don't think it's one of those epic blowouts 55-10 like we saw with Montana versus Elway in the one Super Bowl, but I think you would see, you know, at least a 17 or 20 point win there.
I miss the blowouts in the Super Bowl.
You do? Why so?
I don't. Actually, the greatest blowout ever was Super Bowl 37 when the Buccaneers pounced on the Raiders.
That is by margin of victory. That is the biggest blowout. See, these are the fun things we're going to get to do down there on Media Row. Now, we've been talking to the producers who say, hey, well, we're going to line up as many guests as possible. We just want to have a nice flow of guests. There's so many people down there, and I'm all for it. But the fact of the matter is, it's catch as catch can. There's going to be a lot of downtime, and you know what that means. It's
yeah.
time to waste time. And who wastes time better than Dave Damashek? When you know, that's
Nobody.
My there a couple I have a couple of passions in my life, Adam.
Uh-huh.
One is booze.
Right.
Two is eating food. And three is wasting time. And I do all
wasting
of them.
Wasting time.
Oh, I'm wondering.
Dave, talk about it.
I talk about how you waste time. That's all right. Here we go. You brought in a guest here for us today, Adam Rank.
Yeah, we brought in a guest. I don't know how much time you spend on the NFL.com, but one of our most prolific writers, Mr. Dan Hanses. He writes we have an Around the Web column. Actually, I think it's kind of a page. How would you describe it, Dan? Say hello to everybody. Say
Hi,
hello
buddy.
To the Czech Republic, the Rank
Dave,
Amateurs.
Thanks for having me. Adam, thank you.
Any relation to Michael Hanses?
The hockey player. That's the only person that is even close to my last name. I do not know him.
You don't know him, no relation.
Probably a great
else.
Guy, though. Not the same spelling. There's a D in there, I think.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm sorry, I interrupted. Adam, what was your question for
him? No. It's Around the League. It's a blog. How would you describe it? It's like a blog page. You guys, it's not necessarily hard news. It's kind of the blog, the sports blog type of stories you guys go after. Maybe not, you know, you're not watching the coach's press conference, but like, you know, if Tony Romo's going to be on Dancing with the Stars, you kind of
Terrell Suggs, for instance, suggests that he doesn't that the Ravens don't need God on their side.
Right. We gravitate towards a little left of center, and when things are ridiculous, it's usually give it to the Around the League guys. You know, let them write something stupid. Let the commenters savage us, and then we just move forward.
Well, here's you know,
think he's taken the mantle from me and you. I think Dan might have moved up. We have a power rankings of who the commenters hate on NFL.com. Dan Hanses might be our number one guy because you're the most prolific guy now. You get, like, you watch, we get reports about, like, hey, who's clicking into what. Dan Hanses' stories are at the top. I've been removed.
First of all, mazel tov, and of course, if we're cutting out the state of Maryland, then maybe he would win. But I think the good people of Charm City might say otherwise about me. Now, you, Dan, are a New York Jetropolitans fan, so you've been surely having to address quite a bit of this this controversy this week, all this nonsense. What do you make of it? First of all, I've been saying for 2 years that Mark Sanchez is not an NFL quarterback. He is in the bottom 10 quarterbacks in the NFL that start games. People scoffed at me. That's ridiculous. You're exaggerating to make a point. Oh, no. No, I'm not. And I haven't been, and I feel now validated in that. How say you about Mark Sanchez going forward as your QB? The Sanchez.
Right. And, you know, Sanchez takes on a really damaging type vibe now that it's almost a mocking term.
Yes.
In describing him. You were right, Dave. Congratulations. I was all in on Sanchez because I took out of the AFC Championship last year against your beloved Steelers. His performance in the second half, I thought that he showed something in that game. I thought going into his third year, this would be the year he took off. But you know what? He seemed to kind of just get lost. And I don't know, it went beyond just physical. It seemed to me that he lost his way mentally, too. He kind of, and a lot of reporters would say the same thing about that, but they would say he was kind of just a more sullen guy and very serious. And he lost a lot of Jet fans, especially in the end of this season, because his poor play, and now on top of this, his kind of laying low, his stock answers, very kind of just keeping it close to the vest, and the jock speak, which, you know, Jet fans and New York fans in general don't want to hear that stuff. You know, they want somebody, you know, Greg McElroy is not the guy to say that. You know, which he did today, but or yesterday
from Alabama,
yeah, right.
The former
he's
Alabama QB. If you missed it, rookie QB did not take a snap. Was not on the field. I think he was on the IR before the. He yeah. said, "What a toxic environment! What a terrible place!" So on and so forth.
Yeah, he. I mean, that wasn't his place either. But in a way, and this wasn't McElroy's intention. I'm not even sure McElroy realized that by talking to his hometown radio dudes that it was going to be showing up on, you know, NFL.com and everywhere, you know, 20
you
minutes later.
Wait, right.
When I talk into this microphone, it goes out the plate. Wait, is that backwater that he...
Well, no, yeah, I mean, that probably comes
Alabama,
off as kind
so.
Of... Yeah. I don't know if he is a savvy guy. Even on his Twitter page, I think he references himself in the bio as, you know, aspiring media personality or something like that. So it's really not a fair comment, actually. But
he was probably a little bit calculated with that.
Yeah, he must have been calculated with it, but at the same time, if he is somebody that's a smart guy, he should have known that he was going to get a lot of crap for... He hurt his broke his thumb in the last preseason game, injured reserve, would have been the third-string QB anyway. That's not his spot, but what McElroy said kind of ended up making Sanchez look worse, which I know wasn't McElroy's intention, but it put the spotlight on Sanchez as, and why is this guy saying, you know, what needs to be said? And meanwhile, you're, you know, giving the answers like, you know, we're going to do hard work. We're going to get this straightened out. And
I got to say, though, I feel like it feels very bad right now. It feels like, wow, this is an unfixable thing. 3 months from now, it won't feel that way. And I think actually I'm with Sanchez on this one. I think for him to go out there and lambaste some of these guys wouldn't do him any favors. I don't think that would help the team at all. Listen, come March or April, get through the draft, see where things are. Now, if we're up to me, if I were making the decisions on who sticks around, I would not want Mark Sanchez to be my quarterback. I have it this way. I say, and people scoffed as recently as 3 weeks ago, people aren't laughing so much anymore. I'd rather have Tavares Jackson than Mark Sanchez as my
Ouch.
Quarterback. That's right. I would. I'm trying to name them from bad on up there. But we threw some names around, Rank. Like Kevin Cobb is right there.
It's close.
That one's there. The people, like I say, a few weeks ago would have scoffed at. Donovan McNabb is a worse option to go out and get. That's a guy who
He's
I wouldn't want to have. One of the McNown boys, I wouldn't want to have them. But these are guys who've started games this season in the NFL that weren't thrust into the role because of injury, but guys who started the year on their respective teams. Mark Sanchez, the point is abysmal, and he has a high pedigree as opposed to the other guys who we're talking about. And the other thing is, it's not a fair comparison to, let's say, Tavares Jackson, because Mark Sanchez has had weapons. I mean, their offensive line wasn't great this year in New York, but they didn't run the ball as well as they did the last couple of years. But the defense is still good. And over 3 years, the defense has been one of the better defenses. They can run the ball. And Santonio Holmes, the names have changed. But Santonio Holmes, Plexico Burris, you know, Derek Mason didn't work out. And then Braylon Edwards before that. Dustin Keller is a good pass catcher. Jericho Cotchery in the past. He's had weapons around him. And I know they've gotten to title games and everything, but I feel like it's sort of the same thing as what happened at USC. Yes, he was surrounded by great players, but they won in spite of him, not because of him.
Well, I do think this idea that, and again, I have admitted now I'm off the Sanchez bandwagon, but I will say this idea that he's had these great weapons is a little bit of an overstatement because
Santonio Holmes isn't one of the four or five best wide receivers in the AFC?
Weapon, horrible guy, weapon. Plaxico is like a 6'5" corpse at this point. You know, they wheel him out there in the red zone. I think he had 7 or 8 touchdowns, but he couldn't get open. Keller's a good player that disappears for stretches, and their run game it wasn't there this year. They thought that Green would be the player that would go to the next level. That never materialized. LT was on the downside by the second half last season, and that just progressed this year. So, you know, I don't think that he really had a ton of options around him. Should he have been better? Yes. But I think he kind of gets a bum rap with that.
Now, everybody's talking about this possibility of Peyton Manning going there. As a Jets fan, what are you hearing as a Jets fan? Would you accept that?
As a Jets fan, we've been hurt before, and it's this is tough. So you
don't cry, though.
I'm getting choked up right now. No, but it's the Brett Favre thing is still fresh on our minds because, you know, we thought we had the veteran guy that was going to put us over the hump in 2008. And, you know,
who wants these rejects? I don't want legends from other teams inhabiting my team. That's not the way to get to the Super Bowl. Is that how you want to get over?
No.
With Peyton Manning? He did it with other team. You don't want him.
And that's what makes it even more painful is that Sanchez, you know, people like me and many other Jets men had talked ourselves into, wow, we finally got that guy. We don't need to pluck him. We, you know, from somewhere else we had him. And now it's like all of a sudden now we don't have him. And now we got to get the 36-year-old guy off 12 neck surgeries. It's like, I don't know. You know, we're back to square one and I don't know what comes next. But
here's what I do know.
Matt Flynn.
Here's my guess. Yeah, so that would be another nightmare is to spend $50 million to bring that guy in. Because he had 1.5 good games, that would not be a great idea. But with the possibility of Manning coming in there, here's what I do think. I don't know if he winds up with the Jets, but I think Peyton Manning is done in Indy. I don't think he'll come back. They're going to bring in a new GM, and the best chance he had of making it back, Peyton Manning, was for Polian to be like, "Listen, we got to stick with this guy. He's our guy. We can get back to where we were."
Do you think that's why Polian was fired?
Yes, I do.
Because
that's
exactly what Polian would have done.
I think this is the perfect excuse. I think they now will fire. I think they've cleared house. Jim Caldwell, the only reason he hasn't been fired yet is because the new GM will come in and say, "Here's who I'd like to get." Instead, then they'll kick Caldwell to the curb. And then they'll say, the GM will say, "Hey, listen, Mr. Irsay, we're hamstrung with this contract for a guy in his mid-30s. We don't know if he can play. Let's cut him loose. Let's turn the page. We'll draft Andrew Luck, and we'll reshape this team from the ground up." Because here's another thing. I agree. You and I rank in the summertime. We're talking bad about Peyton Manning, that we thought he was a little overrated. Not saying he's not great, just not as great as everybody seemed to hold him up, as we saw in that list of the greatest players of all time when they named him the 8th greatest NFL player in the history of NFL football. It's hard to imagine that reasonable people would say such a thing. But a guy who throws big games away all the time throughout his career. But he's the thing that he's benefited from by not playing at all this season is the idea that, look, now you see how valuable he is. When he's not there, now all of a sudden they were in the play. I bet you they would have gone 8-8 at best if he had been there. That team was lousy. And if Peyton Manning had been in there, they still would have stunk up the joint. That's what I said.
They would have been like 6-10, 7-9. You're being generous at 8-8.
Well, and since we'll never know, it will always be assumed that he would have just, you know, rolled out another 11-5, 12-4 if you're in the Peyton Club. And, you know, we'll never know, but I don't know. I don't think he's going to play again personally, but if he does, I don't know where he's going to land either. I know Rex has talked high about him, but I don't know if that would ever happen.
Rex.
How would that go?
I love Rex. I do find him a ray of sunshine in the too often unfun NFL and these curmudgeonly coaches. I do love him, but he has created a lot of trouble with the media talk, and I think it's delightful when he's being funny, but the right. Sanchez stuff just unnecessarily heaps pressure on his guy. You know, there's the Super Bowl thing doesn't bother me. What's going to happen this year? We're going to win the Super Bowl. That's kind of good to set the – but the Sanchez stuff, why put pressure on that guy yeah. coming in there?
Rex has had a rough little stretch here, and I thought the worst thing that he's ever done was on Monday when he had his press conference with Tannenbaum next to him, and he said – you know, he had a chance to put Holmes in his place. You know, I made a mistake about naming him captain. He was not the right guy. Instead, he went into this rant about how he never believed in what captains are about. He is stripping everyone of being a captain, and he's doing away with captains. So he managed to, yes, now Holmes is no longer a captain if he comes back. But again, it's a slap in the face to Sanchez and anybody else that, you know, should have been a captain or could have been for the team. I just thought that was him being weak again, Ryan, instead of, you know, making a stand and saying, I'm not going to be everybody's buddy, you know?
For the record, I hear me now, Santonio will be back. Manning will be gone from the Colts. Santonio will be back with the Jets. They can't afford to lose him right now. They consider themselves in the midst of being eligible for the Super Bowl. They're not going to cut bait with their one good viable receiver right now.
DeSean Jackson.
Oh my God.
If they can make that happen, I bet you the Eagles are going to have something to say about that, though. I like Deshaun.
Delight.
Yeah, a delight circling back, like, in the last month. Like, saw you clearly.
But
his
isn't
age,
that the team
his agent clearly just... whispered, Deshaun, you're doing it wrong. First, we have to get the contract. Then you can be a pain in the butt. Oh, yeah, all right. I'll spend the next 3 weeks saying the right things.
I can't believe he got that mixed up.
All right, quickly, Hanzus, give us, is there an upset that we should be on the lookout for wild card weekend?
Well, there's always an upset, right?
Right.
I'm just going to say I think there's going to be one more bit of Tebow magic here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm glad that people are starting to come around on that, honestly. When everybody says that a team's going to win, then that team doesn't win. So I'm glad that now people are starting to come around on the possibility that Tebow's going to pull this one out.
And then, yeah, I mean, Big Ben, you know, he's just a messed up guy right now, and I don't know if he was healthy, I wouldn't worry about it at all. But, and I don't even think it's going to be something where Tebow is going to save them or anything. I just see a low scoring game, but other than that, I see things kind of playing out as they.
All right. Excellent stuff. Dan Hanzus, Around the League. You check him out there at NFL.com. Track him down. And, Rank, we're going to watch the playoffs. It's going to be grand. I got to go put my slacks on so we can go out for our for our fantasy dinner here. Wilk Ty, thanks for holding down the fort behind the glass, although you did talk way too much. I mean, it just gets out of hand sometimes.
A little chatty.
Oh, before we go, though, I almost forgot. You got to play us out here. The one-man house band, our pal Dick Banks, cooked up a year-end song for 2011. We didn't get to it last week when we were doing the Shecky Awards, episode 43, that was. If you'd missed any of the Sheckies, you can find out who won Condiment of the Year, Uniform of the Year. What else did we cover in that list? Best theme music. We gave out the
Greatest
Sonic Award
of
the worst sports
America.
Town of the year. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, all sorts of things. So look that one up. Fruit of the Year. All those. You can hear that on episode 43. But Dick Banks has a little song to sort of look back one last time on 2011. Give a listen to that. And then when that's through, start looking forward to the kickoff of the wild card round because it's upon us. We'll be back for more Huey and Applesauce on the other side of the wild card round and get you ready for the divisional round. But in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
I'm going to look back at the year 2011. Smoking Joe Frazier. He went to heaven. Joe makes sure to say hi to David Stern since he thinks he's God. The Pack are still good, but their undefeated hopes die. Harbaugh and Schwartz had a real lame fight. And Pac-Man Jones was up to his same old tricks. I'd say this year in sports we had some real good headlines. 2011, goodbye. Barry the Head Bonds was convicted of lying.
Favre retired for the 14th time, and the Bruins gave us one more reason to hate Boston fans. Kid Crosby's head is giving him fits. Jeter gets to 3,000 women. Oh no, that's hits. And Peyton Manning's body says, old man, your time may be up. I'd say this year in sports we had some real good headlines. 2011, goodbye. Plaxico Burress got out of the pokey. This Tebow time crap is so damn hokey. And Dirk Nowitzki finally got his title for Big D. St. Louis won the series, then Pujols went west. Sorry, Cardinal fans, it's about who pays you the best. And Chris Paul is playing for the Clippers, yes, that L.A. team. The shame report hits it big. Dave wears a skinny tie. 2011, goodbye.